Let's learn a few things about Hanukkah. I'm going to use this year, never did this before. Every year, Baruch Hashem, in the past, we've used different sefarim to learn the same halachas. Because every sefer has a unique approach to the laws of Hanukkah and laws in general. And this year, I'm really enamored with the Nitei Gavriel. Nitei Gavriel is a collection. It's a very thorough likut.
It's not a new edition, right?
No. Old edition. I never use it. Nitei Gavriel, you know, the Chabad, the Mechaber, I believe, is...
Tzin.
He's a member of the Chabad community.
No, he's not. He lives on 48th Street. He has a shul on 48th Street between 9th and 10th.
He lives on 40th Street between 16th and 15th Avenue. His name is Gavriel Sinner.
I believe he's a little shtickle Chabad.
The his background is Pupa.
I believe he's, but is it correct that he's affiliated partially with Chabad?
Not affiliated because... You know what Chabad is, not too many people, you know, go there. He's welcome there.
Okay, whatever. If I'm not mistaken, I've heard...
I have a question.
Yes.
All my life I said the Pasuk, but my name is Klonimus Kalman, so I said the Pasuk, Kuf and Nun, but I was told that I'm supposed to say Tupsukim. But I cannot find, where do I find the Pasuk of Kuf and Samech? And where is the source?
You can find any Pasuk that you want that starts with a Kuf and ends with a Samech.
Yes, so find the Pasuk. So find the Pasuk, a Kuf and a Samech. Find a Pasuk like that. Okay,
I'll look for one, but after we'll look. The one Pasuk of the two Pasukim, it really should be one pasuk. It's the two pasukim was someone introduced later.
All right, we'll talk about it afterwards. We'll talk about it.
Where to look?
We need a safe look. Kuf and a samach. You know, someone actually showed this to me. You know who showed this to me? Heshi Augenbaum. Heshi Augenbaum has a sefer where they have more pasukim. I have to ask him for you. He once showed me a sefer that has. That has like not your standard. The back of the art scroll, sitter, they have psukim, but he has a sefer that has a lot more than the back of art scroll. Okay, I have to ask him. I have to ask him for the sefer. Okay, we'll talk about it afterwards. Okay, so this sefer, we've read a lot before. Nitei Gavriel, one of the things that people criticize, Nitei Gavriel, I've heard this many times, is too much. Too much. He brings down too many minhagim which are not relevant, which are not common. And that's exactly why I think this is ideal for our shul, because I just don't want to go through the basic halacha. I want to go through to try to bring out some more interesting ideas and to bring out some flavor in the halacha, and by getting a bigger picture of different minhagim, you definitely broadens your appreciation of the halacha, and you know you have a greater appreciation. Number one, you'll remember the halacha. And you'll come to a better understanding of why we do it the way that we do it. First thing that gives you an example is, what about Erev Chanukah? What exactly is the status? An incredible chiddush he brought out in the footnotes. What exactly is the status of Erev Chanukah? It is the minig amongst all of us. We live today in the global village, where pretty much everything, a lot of things, to a very large degree, have become standardized. We do not recite Tachanun Erev Chanukah. Chanukah, I believe, is Thursday night. Is that correct? Can anyone confirm that to be correct?
Erev Chanukah by Mincha.
Right, by Mincha. What this week? Chanukah.
Thursday night.
So that means Wednesday. Wednesday Mincha, we will not recite Tachanun. There is no.
That's Thursday Mincha. Thursday night is Chanukah.
I'm sorry. Thursday night. The first day of Chanukah is Friday. Thursday Chanukah is Friday, which means Thursday night. So Thursday Mincha, we're not going to recite Tachanun. Okay, fine. What about Thursday morning? We will recite Tachanun. Can a person fast on Erev Chanukah? There are different minhagim. Most halacha l'maisa, the answer is yes. Let us say a chasen kala. I'm going to a wedding. I'm actually going to. I'm not going to a wedding, but I was invited to a wedding. I was invited to a wedding Thursday night. I'm not going. But the chasen kala of this wedding, will they be fasting? I don't know what they're going to do. None of my business. But it's cited that a chasen kala should fast Erev Chanukah. They should fast. And if a person wants to fast for whatever reason, they can fast Erev Chanukah. And in fact, some hold that being that there are people who fast Erev Rosh Chodesh ordinarily, Yom Kippur Katan. This year, the month of Teves, there is no Yom Kippur Katan, because Chanukah goes from Kislev into Teves. So it's one of the 4 months. There are 4 months in the year where there is no Yom Kippur Katan. Yom Kippur Katan is Erev Rosh Chodesh. Every Erev Rosh Chodesh is Yom Kippur Katan. But Chanukah, when we go from Kislev to Teves, you can't have a Yom Kippur Katan because it's in the middle of Chanukah. And Chanukah, you're not allowed to fast. And you don't say Slichos, you don't do these things. So we don't. There is a custom that being that a person cannot fast Erev Rosh Chodesh Teves this year, he should make it up by fasting Erev Chanukah. Just like when Rosh Chodesh comes out on Shabbos or comes out on Sunday. Let's say Rosh Chodesh comes out on Sunday. You can't fast on Shabbos. So when do you have Yom Kippur Katan? Thursday. So this year, when is going to be Yom Kippur Katan? We don't know. We don't call Yom Kippur Katan. We don't call it that. It's too early. But when is the fast that would ordinarily occur Erev Rosh Chodesh? Erev Chanukah. So you see that Erev Chanukah really, now when you fast an Erev Chanukah of a chasan, halacha l'maaseh, most places consider the chasan kala should fast Erev Chanukah. And a person can't fast Erev Chanukah. And if you have a minute, some people, adrabba, they fast Erev Chanukah to make up for the tainis that they should have fasted on Erev Rosh Chodesh Teves. If you're fasting, you're fasting past mincha. You're fasting the whole day. Oh, but you're not saying tachnun after mincha. All right, ha'iluchud v'ha'iluchud. Kelo yoleinu, by a funeral in the morning until mincha time. In the morning, there can be hespedim. I think even the entire day. There can be hespedim. There's no tzedek hadin after mincha. When you don't say tachnun, so there's no tzedek hadin. Then they say a regular kaddish. There are certain rules, but the rules are very relaxed. It's not a heavyweight time to prohibit fasting, hespedim. Basically, you can do whatever you want. I mean, the restrictions are very, very light. Now, by the way, a chasen kala that does fast should break their fast right before the end of the day. They don't have to fast all the way until after the marriage ceremony. They fast in the morning, and then right before tseis ha'kechavim, right before at sunset time, they should break their fast. So they should not enter into Chanukah in a state of fasting. And that's considered they fasted Erev Chanukah on the day, the eve before their wedding. That is a leniency when the person does fast Erev Chanukah. But the point I'm trying to make over here is that there is something very weak about the fast, about Erev Chanukah. On the one hand, at mincha time, we do not recite tachnun. On the other hand, you see in the Pesukim across the board, they write, listen, it's only Erev Chanukah. It's not Erev Yom Tov. You can do whatever you want. You can fast. You can make up for Yom Kippur Katan. There's an attitude of it being very lightweight. Why? What is this all about? Explain the nature of Erev Chanukah to give us more clarity of what is going on. So he cites over here, Nidig Reveal in the footnote, an incredible chiddush, incredible yesite. This goes back to the age-old question. The age-old question of the Beis Yosef is, why do we have 8 days of Chanukah? The oil would have lasted for one day. The miracle was thus that it burned for 7 additional days. So why do we bring into the miracle the first day of Chanukah? Why is Chanukah an 8-day celebration when we're commemorating a miracle that really only happened on 7 days. This is the age-old question of the Beis Yosef. There's a sefer called Ner Lameya that provides 100 answers to this question. The truth is, all the 100 answers can really be broken down into three answers. They're just spin-offs of three, four major answers. One of the popular answers given to this question, this is a very big debate, is you're right. 7 days of the eight-day festival are celebrating in commemoration of the 7 days of miracle, the miracle that occurred of 7 days of the Neros remaining lit. However, the first day, not the last day, the first day, and this is Nogei Halacha L'Maaseh, the first day, we celebrate Chanukah for an entirely different reason. The Nes of the Milchama, the war. The war was won. The war was a war of the Chashmonoim going up against the Misyavnim, which means our fellow Jews who were assimilated, and the Yevanim that were supporting them, the Syrian Greeks. There is no way in the world that this small group of Chashmonoim, al pi derech hateva, in any textbook, can possibly prevail over a massive army and the resources of the Misyavdim and the Yevanim. It was a blatant miracle that the Chashmonoim won the battle. They were able to take back the Beis HaMikdash. They were able to remove the power that was held upon them, that was the power that was controlling them, preventing them from freedom of religion. They were able to overcome this miraculously. That is what we commemorate on the first day of Chanukah, according to some opinions. I can't give you names. I don't have the names. You have to trust me. You should never trust me. But this is what many poskim say. The first day is the nature of the first day of Chanukah is very different. However, many other poskim strongly disagree. Thoroughly and strongly disagree. And they tell us all 8 days of Chanukah are in commemoration of one thing only. The Nes of the menorah. Why then is it 8 days and not 7 days? Good question. Excellent question. We'll figure it out. We'll give you a book that will give you 99 answers. We just took away one answer. There are 99 more answers to answer that question. But don't say that the miracle of Chanukah, the celebration of Chanukah, has anything to do with a war. Because, first of all, the war, you can argue, was not a miracle. It was just good planning. It was a good strategy. It was a miracle that was within the framework of nature. And even if you'll say it's a miracle, who says we commemorate wars for generations? When a miracle happens in Shulchan Aruch, so maybe the next year, the following year, there should be a day of celebration. It will say hallel. Maybe the people, the soldiers in that war, they have an obligation to celebrate every single year for the rest of their lives. For Klali Yisrael to celebrate a victory in war for generations as a holiday, Chazal don't do that. That's not the way they operate. There are guidelines in Shulchan Aruch to commemorate wars the following year. The people that were involved in the war, they have an obligation, a duty to commemorate the miracle. They use these same arguments regarding Yom Atzmaut. They're talking about religious people who take this very seriously. I'm not talking about people that don't even know anything. People who take it very, very seriously and they want to celebrate. They want to celebrate Atzmaut with in a religious way. They deal with the issues. What exactly does the halacha require? And some argue that Yom Atzmut, there is a halachic obligation to celebrate Yom Atzmut with the recital of Hallel with the bracha only 1 year, in 1949, the following year. Not necessarily does the halacha demand and require a person to make a bracha and Hallel for generations in the year 1949. And the people maybe who fought in the War of Independence, which broke out immediately thereafter, the declaration of the State of Israel was just an invitation to go to war. That's all what it was. It wasn't a very happy event at the time. It was a very dangerous move, which indeed led to a war, which many people lost their lives. And a miraculous victory occurred. So the people that lived in that generation who participated, they certainly maybe have an obligation. But does that apply to future generations? Not so simple. These are all very big halachic issues, which is very complicated. Many argue that the 8 days of Hanukkah have nothing to do with the Milchama. We mention the Milchama, we learn about the Milchama, but it's not part of the celebration. Now, Lamai Nafkamina here is an incredible Nafkamina. This is the Magen Avraham says this, he brings it over here, is when we have a rule that a celebration, that a Yom Tov, we do not recite Tachanun. We do not engage in activities before the holiday and after the holiday as an extension, a warm-up period for the holiday, and a cool-down period for the holiday, is only for holidays that have within them something physical. There's something physical. But if there's nothing physical, this rule does not apply. So here comes a major nafkamina between this debate. If you're going to take the side of the debate that really Hanukkah is an 8-day miracle, and 7 days we commemorate the miracle of the oil, and 1 day, the first day, we commemorate the miracle of the war. The miracle of the war was our physical survival. We survived. We're alive. We've taken back the Beis HaMikdash. It's something that you can touch. You can feel. It's a Dover Gashmi. This type of festival brings with it the rule, what's called the word Lifnehem. The day before is also sacred. It's not sacred to the degree where you're going to recite Hallel and light the menorah. You don't do that. But it's sacred to the degree where you don't fast. There's no fasting allowed. There are no eulogies. Tachanun is not recited even in the morning. But if you take the side of the debate where the 8 days of Hanukkah are purely for the celebration of the menorah, the 8 days, which is something purely spiritual. It's nothing physical. The menorah, the oil lasted, wow, 8 days. Thank you very much for the coffee. Thank you very, very much. If you take the position that the first day of Hanukkah, it's also commemorating the Shemen. What kind of miracle is that? That oil, it lasted for 8 days? This is a supernatural miracle. There's nothing physical that's relevant for us in this miracle on a physical level. This type of miracle does not have within it the koyach, the celebration, to bring with it the principle of what we call lifnehem, the day before. And thus, you would be required to say tachanun the entire day, by mincha as well. You can fast. It's like a regular weekday with no limitations whatsoever. So what is it? What's the bottom line? Guess what? There is no bottom line. No one's going to answer this question. No one can tell you. No one. There is no hachra, halacha lemaisa. What exactly is the nature of the first day of Hanukkah? It's all drush. We have 8 days of Hanukkah. We have a very good question. Why do we have 8 days? It should only be 7 days. So we have two answers. You have 100 answers. Among the 100 answers, you'll have a whole collection of answers which are telling you, there's a reason why we need to celebrate 8 days for the oil, for the candles. And then there's going to be an approach that will tell you, no, We only celebrate the oil and the candles for 7 days. The first day is our physical survival. Oh, big maskamina between these two reasons. First approach, it's supernatural. Supernatural miracles, which we commemorate, do not have power to spill over to the day before. But physical miracles of survival, that has a much greater intensity. And that does spill over to the day before to prevent us from fasting and reciting Tachanun. The result for us is nishtahi nishtaher. On the one hand, we do recite Tachanun in the morning. We do say in the morning Tachanun. Thursday morning, it's a long, got a long davening. V'hu rachum, no excuses Thursday morning. You have to say the whole full Tachanun Thursday morning. Then mincha, all right, mincha already, no tachanun already, you get away with it. Mincha, why mincha? That's the minute. This is how it evolved. Is a chos and kal out of fast? It depends who you ask. Okay, it seems that I could be even shulchan aruch. I don't remember, but it seems the bottom line is yes, you do fast. But you know something? If you're not feeling well, if there's another reason why you don't want to fast. No, there are grounds to be lenient not to fast. V'chulu v'chulu, it's somewhere in the middle. That's because the first day of Chanukah is a yesoid. It's a different type of day. Now, what's interesting was I always thought that it was the last day of Chanukah. No, it's not true. It's really the first day of Chanukah. That's a very important question. What is the day of Chanukah? Many people are going to tell you on the last day of Chanukah, Zois, it's called Zois Chanukah. Zois Chanukah, the eighth day of Chanukah is Zois. It's true, the last day is number eight, and eight occupies in Kabbalah a very significant place. The number eight has a very, very significant place in Halacha. And that's why we make a big deal about it. It's the end of Chanukah. We call it Zos Chanukah after the Kriyas HaTorah. Zos Chanukah Samizbeach. But the greatness of Zos Chanukah is not related to this answer. This principle of commemorating the miracle of survival, the miracle of winning the war, the Giborim Biad Chaloshim, V'Rabim Biad Ma'atim, V'Tuim Biad Torah, M'Shem Biad Tzadikim, V'Zedim Biad Oizkei Sarasecha. That is the first day, not the last day. So if you break up Chanukah, there are really three parts to Chanukah. There's the first day Chanukah, then there are 6 days of Chanukah, and then there is Zois Chanukah. The number eight. Eight represents Lamal, Derech HaTeva, Zois Chanukah, Samizbeach, all of the stuff that goes along with the number eight. There are three parts to Chanukah. First day, 6 days, and day number eight. And add into the mix, you have a Shabbos Chanukah also. You know, you have a Shabbos Chanukah that also represents a unique flavor to the Yom Tov. So four elements, four unique times of Chanukah. Day one, day eight, the middle days, and Shabbos Chanukah. Each one of these is special and unique in its own right. Each one captures its own unique flavor. Okay, now let's go to the next topic. The next topic is who is chayiv to light Ner Chanukah? Okay, who is chayiv to light Ner Chanukah? Okay, so we know that Ner Chanukah, the minig is, you know, there's Mahadrin, 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 and Me'ikar Hadin, the only one that has light Ner Chanukah, it's just one candle. One Ner Ish Ubeisai. The Rosh Habayis lights one candle on behalf of his entire household. Mahadrin, every single, the Rosh Habayis, he lights one candle for every single member of his household. So if he has five members in his household, he lights five candles. And then there is Mahadrin, and a Mahadrin where, this by the way is a very big, everything I'm telling you now is a big machlokes rishonim, what it means, what this really means. We once, one year, I remember, we learned Aruch HaShulchan. And the Erech HaShulchan lays it out in a very beautiful way. We can go to now. Basically, halacha l'maisa, we all light, everyone today lights their own Chanukiah, their own set of Neros, and we Moisef HaHoylech, and we have a Shamash for a grand total of 44 candles over Chanukah. Everyone in the bayis lights their own menorah, their own Chanukiah, which comes out to a grand total of 36 Neros, plus 8 Shamoshim every single night. In addition to the candles of Moisef HaHoylech, which comes out to 36, we have a Shamosh, which comes to a grand total of 44 candles. You have to make sure you buy candles. Oil, you have enough for 44. Now, I came across something very, very fascinating. And this really speaks volumes, this halacha, which today no one would want to even look at this halacha, but it's a very interesting minhag that was probably practiced very religiously generations ago, and today has been totally forgotten. Baruch Hashem has been forgotten, but the minhag used to be that if a person finds himself in a non-Jewish environment, let's say he's traveling, he has to go away for business in Chanukah, and he finds himself, there's a big meeting in Atlanta, a big meeting in Arizona, or he's in Georgia working for Trump, right? He's somewhere there and he finds himself in a hotel Chanukah night. Let's make believe it's the fifth night of Chanukah. So what do? You're away in a hotel, out of town, it's sunset, and you're gonna light Chanukah candles, why not? How many candles do you light? So you'll say it's the fifth night of Chanukah, so you light 5 candles, what's the shaila? No, the minhag was that when you're away from home, in a non-Jewish environment, you only light 1 candle. Could you imagine this? You go into your hotel room, it's Chanukah, and you light 1 candle. You make the brachas, Asher Kedushan B'mitzvot, B'mitzvot L'Halig Ner Shel Chanukah, and you make the bracha, She'asa Nisim, and that's it. I don't think you need even a shamash. 1 candle. Why? Because when you're away from home, it's a sakana. And when Goyim start seeing Jews light a lot of candles, they get very nervous. You're lighting a lot of candles? Try to light a candle on an airplane. you think if you don't wear a mask over your nose on an airplane, they'll throw you off the airplane? You go try to light a candle on an airplane. You see what happens to you. They'll never let you in there in an airport for the rest of your life if you try to light a candle on an airplane. Okay. If you're not at home, you're in an environment that is unknown, a hostile environment. We live in Golis. So what is this, the Chiddush? You do the Ikor Hadin. The Ikor Hadin is Ner Chanukah, Ner Ish Ubeisoy. 1 candle only. Even that's a Chiddush, because really at home, they can light for you at home. So let's make believe the person, let's say the person is single, he's not married. There's no one lying, he doesn't have, this is just, no one's lying for him. He's not lying. When the minhag was, I should read this to you. The minhag was that when you're out of town, you're in a goyish environment, you only light 1 candle. Because that is the ikor hadin. When you're at home, you're safe, you know your neighbors, you know your environment, you know what you're dealing with. Then, the Hamahadrin, Ner l'chol echad v'yechad. The Hamahadrin, min Hamahadrin, be'shamay oimrim, poiches v'hoylech, u'beshilal oimrim, moisef v'hoylech. Now, let's say, he goes on to write, let's say you are out of town, and you're in a place where it's safe. Everything is good. It's a safe, as far as you can detect, everything seems to be A-okay. Why not? Let me light 5 candles tonight. No. Loy plug. Because if to this year, you're going to light 5 candles, next year, You're going to also want to light five candles, or maybe then later, maybe at the end of Hanukkah tomorrow, your company is going to send you to another city, to another place, and there it's not going to be so safe. And there, listen, well, yesterday I lit five candles, so no, what could be? Let me light five candles tonight also. Nip it in the bud. Don't look for trouble. Don't get into a mindset of taking danger. We live in a very dangerous world. The goyim don't like us. Halacha biyodua esav soinei liyakiv. It is a fact, when Jews light candles, a lot of candles, goyim get very nervous. Maybe today we live in a modern world, so the whole thing is very bizarre to us, but certainly go back before there was electricity, go back to ancient times, not even such ancient times, just go back 100 years, when they see Jews lighting a lot of candles, they go, what is going on here? What are all these candles? Fire, okay? In those days, it didn't take very much to light up, to burn down a house. Everything was a very dangerous world. It was a whole different world. It doesn't take very much. The minig was, you light one candle, loy plug. Even if you think it's safe, we don't want you to get into a mindset of lighting many candles. This is an amazing, this halacha, let me try to read it to you. The reason why it's so amazing, this halacha, is today we live in a world, Lubavitch Chabad, my own cousin, Matt Lewin, he won the case. He won the case for Chabad. They go out into the world, and they go out into the street, and they put up gigantic menorahs, and they light candles, and they light electric candles on cars, and they make noise and noise and noise and noise. You read this halacha, you think you're in Mars. At Imamish, we've gone in America, mikotze el hakotze, and is this good or bad? Well, I'm certainly, Chabad thinks it's very good. And we live in America. America, you know, it's part of the Constitution. Freedom of religion, First Amendment. Freedom of religion. Public display of religion. But it just goes to, we have to put ourselves, put everything in perspective of history, of how dangerous things used to be. Let me read you over here. I wanted to read you this because it's something that's so interesting. Okay, Chiyuv Halakas Neres Chanukah. Here it is. I'm reading you. I'm going to read you word for word. I'm not making nothing up over here from the Nidei Gavriel, on page Memdal. Interesting, Memdal 44. Hamadlik Baderech Bebeisoy Shel Goy. If you light on the road in the home, these are his words. So don't be mdaik in his words. I'll read you the footnotes. Footnotes are the real words. I'm reading you his words. Shel goy ye shekosav shemalik rak ner echod. One candle. He does write, v'shamush echod. He does write one shamish. One ner and one shamish. Af al pi she'ein ha-goy makbit. Even though he's not makbit. He doesn't care. The goy tells he doesn't care. Shema yimsa pam goy shehu makbit. Because maybe next time, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, or maybe next year, you'll be in an environment where the goy will be makbid. The yiyeh sakona mizeh, the yavol lidei gnai lemitzvah, and the mitzvah will become in jeopardy. Okay, in the footnote he writes, who says this? The leket yosher, kuflin beis v'zel l'shoinayk. This comes from the leket yosher. V'beis ha-goy malik ner echad v'shamish echad. Af al pi yishen agoy makbid al beis or gimel neres shema achas lemeya pa'amim. Okay, this is an ancient saying of Leket Yosher. Maybe 1 in 100 times. You hear what he says over here? Achas lemeya pa'amim shetovoy sakona mimena v'hoy yignay lemitzvah. The haraya, he brings the raya from mechasa b'lil Pesach. On Pesach we eat chrein. Why do we dip the maror in charoises? Because there's poison on the maror. So we need an antidote for the poison. Really? There's poison on the lettuce? How many people do you know have died from poisoning eating lettuce? Well, today, unfortunately, there are problems sometimes indeed, but there's poison, Mibnei Kappa. So every single person in Klal Yisrael has to have an antidote for the lettuce, because maybe one time there's going to be poison. Yeah. Uvechol shana, the whole year we eat lettuce or charein, whatever you want to say, the things without charoises. El al karach k'moshe pirashti, because since Chazal now are demanding that it be done, it's an obligation. Now you got to be really careful. Chazal cannot go and obligate. If you want to take a risk at your own risk the whole year round, good for you. Do whatever you want to go do. But if Chazal are demanding that you eat this food, and there's a 1% chance that you can get sick from it, so they said, we're not going to let you do this. We're not going to require you to do this unless you have the antidote with you. Now, why don't you translate that into Corona? Corona, all the different Corona questions of 1% chance of catching whatever it is. It's fascinating. This is an incredible Chazal. This whole thing over here about Hanukkah, about danger, and about the raya from eating maror, which is dangerous. And that's the reason why we have charoises. Even though the whole year round you've never seen people eat maror with lettuce with charoises. Charoises is the antidote for any poison that may be in the lettuce. And you don't see anyone doing this the entire year round. And the reason is because the entire year round, we didn't tell you to eat the maror. You want to take a risk? Don't blame us. But if we're going to demand that you eat maror, Lel Pesach, weak liability. Liability issues. Chazal do not want to be responsible for that one person who will die, will get sick from eating maror. So therefore, every single person has to wear a mask because of liability issues. Every single person has to have charoises with their maror. If we are demanding wholesale, everyone in Klal Yisrael eat maror, b'zman hazeh maror is midrabanan. Maror b'zman hazeh is not d'oraisa. There is no mitzvah d'oraisa to eat maror unless there is a Karban Pesach. So it is the Rabbanon who are demanding that we eat maror. If we're going to demand, we have to take into consideration the 1% of the population that will have a bad reaction to the maror, and therefore every single one of the one people, half of the population, must eat the maror with charoises. Incredible, right? So you're talking about, go translate that into all the different corona questions of Sakana wearing masks. Does a mask work? Does it not work? Maybe it does work. Who knows? No one knows. No one knows anything. So maybe it's kedai. Maybe it's worth it. You don't know what's so terrible. And here it's the same thing with Hanukkah candles. You're going out of town to Atlanta. You're in a hotel room, and someone's going to see that you're lighting candles. They're going to freak out. They're going to think you're doing voodoo. They're going to think you're burning down the building. They're going to think who knows what. And every time they'll blacklist any Jew who walks into this hotel for the rest of their existence. So you know what? Don't light 9 candles on the 8th day of Hanukkah. Light 2 candles. Even though you're convinced that it's perfectly safe, if you do it this time, you're going to get into a frame of mind where you're going to do it other times. Other people are going to start doing it. One thing leads to another. It's going to create anti-Semitism. It's going to create Tsaris. Be very careful when you live and when you walk among the goyim. That's the halacha. That's what he brings down. And I was telling you is that like it's this halacha. When you read this halacha today in the 21st century, especially you go to say this halacha to, let's say, to a 20-year-old boy, he'll look at you like you're from Mars. What are you talking about? Who wrote the Constitution? Yankel Shmerel wrote the Constitution of America. Don't you know Abraham Lincoln was a Sheni Yid? He was a Breslov Chassid. And George Washington, Chabad. And Benjamin Franklin, can't you tell? He was a real Litvak. Right? That's unfortunately the attitude that we think we own, that we own the whole world. And when you read a halacha like this, it is super duper bizarre. But this is the real world. These halachas are truly the real world, to be aware that they really don't like us. And every moment that we survive is chesed elyon. Halacha biyadua Esav Sadiakov Ella be'oisa sha'a nichmeru Rachamav. V'noshkoi b'chol liboy. Halavai, halavai, that Oyes HaShosh should continue to last. Ad bias kol Mashiach. Okay, now let's go to a new halacha. Another halacha about,
The world is not only the United States. There are other countries too.
There are other boroughs besides Brooklyn. There are other boroughs. Just leave the comfort zone of New York State. Boy, what goes on outside of New York State, it's not so simple. I used to go to my visit my sister in Boston, Massachusetts. I would stop by a rest stop. I didn't get such nice. They don't look at me very, very fondly. They see someone wearing a yarmulke. Outside, you walk out of New York State. Got to be very, very careful. Very, very careful. Okay, let's discuss now a new topic. Topic of Zman. When do you light the candles? This is a very big topic. When exactly is the ideal time to light the Chanukah candles? There are many, many minhagim when to light the candles. Let's try to discuss the whole topic in the time we have left. Now, I'll just tell you some of the minhagim, some of the ideal minhagim. First of all, if you're working, you don't have a choice, okay? You're not coming to ask a shayla when is the ideal time to light. If you have to go to work, you come home 9 o'clock at night, 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, that's it. So when you come home, you light candles, finished. Okay. I'm talking about a person who's living in a fantasy island where you can light the candles whenever you want. You know, even in yeshivas, there are two different mahalachim in the yeshiva world. There are some yeshivas which, unfortunately, at least in my opinion, and none of my business, they let the boys out on Chanukah very early, so they can be home to light Chanukah candles at the ideal time. The ideal time we'll discuss exactly is sunset, say Sakhar Chavim. Let's say it's somewhere between, just for argument's sake, between 4 and 5 o'clock. Okay, make believe between 4 and 5:30. Make believe that's the ideal time to light candles. Between 4, maybe even later, 4 and 6 o'clock. There's a range, I'll show you the range in a few moments. The ideal time is somewhere between 4 and 6 o'clock. If you go to work, you're not coming home before 6 o'clock. So you're not coming to ask the question. If you have a business, same thing. Now you're not coming home to ask this question. What about a yeshiva? The typical yeshiva, there's a morning seder and there is an afternoon seder. And there's a night seder. When does the afternoon seder end? Well, every yeshiva is different. Some yeshivas, it ends at 7 o'clock. Some, it ends at 6:30, 6 o'clock. When does it end? Every yeshiva, but it ends certainly later than the cutoff point. There are many yeshivas that they tell the boys, it's regular seder today. The yeshiva ends at 6 o'clock, 6:30, Bittul Torah. Oh, but it says in Shulchan Aruch you're supposed to light candles in the ideal moment between 4 and 6 o'clock. And to light at 4 o'clock means I have to leave 3 o'clock to get home and to set up my Chanukiah. So the Rebbe says, guess what? We're not living in the ideal world. It's true, the ideal time to light Chanukah candles is 4 o'clock. And that means you need to leave 3 o'clock to get home and to set up your Chanukah, to watch with your watch to the exact moment to light. Bittul Torah. What are you here for in this yeshiva? You're here to learn or you're here to play around? If you're here to learn, then you're not going home. You're going to sit here until 7 o'clock, like every single day. And at 7 o'clock, you'll daven ma'ariv, you'll go home, you'll light 8 o'clock. Oh, Shulchan Aruch, Shulchan Aruch, Shulchan Aruch. Guess what? In Shulchan Aruch it says that if you go to work, you can light when you come home at 7 o'clock. So you're also working. You're working in the yeshiva, you're learning Torah. There's no greater work than this. The Shulchan Aruch that talks about lighting at 4 o'clock, offer the lady gays, the people that don't work. They don't work, they're not blessed to have an opportunity to learn, to work, so they can go light at the ideal moment. This is when they light. But you're learning Torah. You don't go home. That's it. the Salma Torah Keneged Kulam. This used to be the main approach in many yeshivas. You go to yeshiva, it was a sacrifice. It wasn't an entitlement to go to yeshiva. Most boys, they went to college, they went to work. They didn't go to yeshiva. Yeshiva Gedoyla, you know, yeshiva. You go to yeshiva, it's a sacrifice. You make a sacrifice, go to yeshiva. It's ridiculous to go home early, to cut Seder early, to go to Hanukkah candles. It's totally ridiculous. And you know what the proof is? Because many of the people who do go home early, they end up anyway not lighting until 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock. Because they go home early and their father's not home. And they're not going to dare light before the father comes home. And then if the father's home, the mother's not home. And this one's not home. And that one's not home. And then this Hanukkah party, that Hanukkah party. Until they go and they come. So it's a total joke. It's a mamish joke. You're going home early because you're going to go light. And this, go take a poll. Go do an analysis. How many people who actually let out at 3 o'clock to go light bizman. Light bizman, and go tell me how many people actually ended up lighting bizman. Most anyway didn't light until much, much later. So you might as well stay and do what you're supposed to be doing over here. And everything adds up. This bittel, that bittel, go to a funeral, go to like Hanukkah candles, a midwinter vacation, go to Florida, you go for skiing, and you go to a big chalas, and you go to big matzahs. Before you turn around, you don't learn a word. Everything is an excuse. Every single thing is an excuse. It is a total chorban. I know about this because I lived through this. I saw this. It is a total, total chorban. But you can't say boo today. Everyone today, you know, everyone is pampered and everyone has to go have a Hanukkah party. So today what happens? Hanukkah basically is just a week of bittel. Everyone goes home early and it's a horrible thing that has occurred with the bittel Torah. All right, put that aside. Now, let's discuss the Ikar Zman. In the event that there is an Ikar Zman, when is the Ikar Zman? So, it says in the Gemara, the Zman lighting Hanukkah candles is when the sun sets, is the words of the Gemara are, the actual words of the Gemara are, how come I don't have the words of the Gemara? I don't have the words of the Gemara. How do you like that, Keith? I'm not gonna guess words of the Gemara. When it gets dark, Mishachashecha, when it gets dark. Okay, when it gets dark. That's basically what is it called when it gets dark? What does that mean? What does that mean when it gets dark? The Mechaber says the Zman to light candles is Tzei Sakachovin. That's what it says in the Mechaber. Tzeis. When it get mishechashecha means when the stars come out. When do the stars come out? Well, it depends where you live. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, the latest zman that says sakachavim is 40 minutes. There it gets dark very, very quick. And it gets, really, it's a dark before 40, probably after 20 minutes, already pretty much dark. But the latest zman that says sakachavim is 40 minutes after sunset. In America, we follow Rav Moshe, more or less, and Tzeis HaKochavim is 50 minutes after sunset. And indeed, many, according to the Mechaber and the Mechaber, and the Torah and the Mechaber, the Zman to light, and many other Pesukim, Aruch HaShulchan says as well, okay, that's pretty serious stuff over here. The Mechaber, the Aruch HaShulchan, the Zman to light, the earliest time to light Hanukkah candles is Tzeis HaKochavim. When is Tzeis HaKochavim? So, Mitzvah Shabbos, how many minutes do you wait? Everyone has a different custom. Some wait 50 minutes. Some people wait 72 minutes. Some wait 60 minutes. There are some who only wait 41 minutes. You don't find too many people like that anymore. But some wait only 41 minutes. They'll do malach after 41 minutes. Some will even later than 35 minutes. Whatever you consider to be Tzeis HaKochavim is the earliest time you can light candles. So, for most of us, 50 minutes is the earliest time to light Hanukkah candles after sunset. However, some say then you should light candles, Mishechashecha, when it gets dark. when the Gemara says Mishcha Shecha, means when it begins to get dark, which means sunset. This is the opinion of the Seder Hayom. Seder Hayom is a Rishon. It's an old, old Sefer, old opinion, and it's not the only one. The Morik Tzia, Seder Hashla, Emek HaBracha, okay, a lot of Mikubalim, and it says here shockingly, this people don't, this is the Briskerov, okay, for all the Litvaks, V'chei Noach.
The Gra lit sunset, Mamish?
With sunset?
At sunset.
Okay, so it's the Gra, the Briskerov, okay? The Briskerov, they lit Mishech HaShecha, means when the sun sets. So we've gone already through two major opinions. The Gra, sunset. The Mechaber, Mishech HaShecha, means Tzei Sakachavim. Tzei Sakachavim means what? Whatever you want it to mean. 50 minutes, 72 minutes, 90 minutes, 60 minutes, 41 minutes, whatever you want it to mean, it means. That's called Tzei Sakachavim. Okay, two down. Now we come to a big collection of Paiskim that are somewhere in the middle. Some hold that you light 15 minutes after sunset. This appears to be the opinion of the Mishnah Berura. It's interesting that a lot of people don't, even though everyone, we live in a Mishnah Berura generation, people don't follow the Mishnah Berura. The Mishnah Berura says a Rev Asha, a quarter of an hour, which is 15 minutes after sunset. What does that mean? What is it all about? And this is something which I don't know much about. I didn't prepare, unfortunately, this idea. There's a general topic of discussion of when the days, when does night begin? So we know there is the Magen Avraham and the Gra. Does the night begin? When is called Vaday Laila? Is Vaday Laila? There's something called day, and there's something called night. In between day and night, there's a period called Bein Hashmoshes. Bein Hashmoshes is okay. This intermediary period. How long is that period of time? And there are many different opinions. Okay, this now we're going to go through. Now it's too confusing for me, and we won't spend time on this right now. But the basic idea is, in this complex understanding of how we transition between day and night, there is a principle called a second shkia, a second setting of the sun. In other words, the sun sets when the ball of the sun goes below the horizon. Then there is a cool-off period, so we'll call a cool-down period, where the sun is no longer above the horizon, but there's plenty of light outside. There's you know, you have no problem seeing what's going on outside without electricity. And then suddenly, there's what's called the second setting of the sun. There's a time period where it begins to get dark very quickly. There's an acceleration. It's not the transition between day and night is not even. This is a fact. This is a scientific fact. There's daylight. The ball of the sun is above the horizon. Then it goes below the horizon. But it's still, there's plenty of light. And then, even in America, suddenly, there's a significant change where it begins to get dark now very quickly. When does this occur? This is called the second setting of the sun. This occurs a half an hour before Tzei Sakachavim, before the stars come out. A half an hour before the stars come out is called the second setting of the sun. Now, when is that? So I don't know how all of these numbers work, but the Mishnah Berurah says the second Shkia occurs 15 minutes after sunset. Now, obviously, all this depends upon which part of the world you live in, where in Bavel, where some of these Maamar Chazal appear, and when the Chofetz Chaim wrote, he was living in Radin, Russia, where these things, we're making calculations. It's very, very vague. But there is such a principle in Halacha, according to some opinions, of a second setting of the sun. There is the setting of the sun when the ball goes below the horizon, and then there is a cool-off period where there's light outside, and then suddenly it begins to get dark. But it's not yet called night. It's not yet called Seis HaKoychavim. From when the sun begins to set the second time, when darkness begins to set in until the stars come forth, is a half an hour, 30 minutes. When is the time when the sun begins to set? The Mishnah Berurah says 15 minutes after sunset. So thus, the Mishnah Berurah understands that when it says in the Gemara that the lighting of the Hanukkah candles is Mishechashecha, is when it begins to get dark, it means the second setting of the sun, which is 15 minutes after sunset. Which basically means the Mishnah Berurah is saying that Seis HaKoychavim is 45 minutes after sunset. And indeed, this that we follow, Rabbeinu Tam, 72, these are all chumers. Rav Moshe says, by the way, Rav Moshe says 50. If we read the Tshuva, Rav Moshe did not say the word 50 as a precise number. Because after 50 minutes, you can be certain it's Seis HaKoychavim. Rav Moshe never said that 50 minutes is etched in stone. This is bidiyuk, bidiyuk, bidiyuk. It means 50 minutes pass from sunset, you have no sekes anymore. You can be certain Shabbos is over. When did Shabbos really end? It probably ended 5 minutes before, probably ended 45 minutes or 43 minutes or 42 minutes or 47 minutes, 46 minutes. 50 minutes is a time when he's not giving you a number. This is like the marathon, and they're using electronic equipment to monitor who's the one who finished the finish line, and we're going to get it down to a 100th of a second. No, after 50 minutes, you can be certain it's for sure Seis HaKoychavim. The Mishnah Berurah says there's something called a principle according to the getting this complicated matter of how we transition from day to night. There's day, there's night, there's the Ben HaShemoshos, there's the sun setting, there is the stars coming out, and then there's a principle called a second shkia. That's part of the vocabulary of the transition from day to night. There's shkia sachama, the ball of the sun goes below the horizon, and then there is a second shkia, where all of a sudden it begins to get dark very quickly. That second shkia, from the moment of the second shkia, until the stars come out, in at least in Chutz La'aretz, not necessarily in Eretz Yisrael, at least in Bavel, in Chutz La'aretz, in Europe, in America, is a half an hour from the second Shkia until the stars come out. When does the second Shkia begin? The second Shkia always begins 15 minutes after the sun sets. The sun sets until the second Shkia is 15 minutes. When it says in the Gemara that the Zman Hadlokas Neres Chanukah is Mishech HaShecha, the Gemara did not say Shkia. The Gemara did not say Seis HaKoychavim. The Gemara is discussing often that when it comes to Chanukah lighting candles, we want there to be Persumei Nisa. The best Persumei Nisa is when people are coming home from work. When the ball of the sun sets, people start heading home. When do they get into their homes? They get into their homes right before the second Shkia, right before it suddenly begins to get dark very quickly. And therefore, there's a 15-minute time from when the sun sets until the second setting of the sun. That is what it means in the Gemara, when the Gemara says the Persumei Nisa, the publication of the miracle, to publicize the miracle of lighting Chanukah candles should be done when everyone is in the street, they're coming home, they're coming into their home, is the beginning, Mishech HaShecha, when it begins to get dark. It doesn't begin to get dark when the sun sets. It does not say in the Gemara when it's Seis HaKoychavim. It says when it begins to get dark, and it means when the second setting of the sun begins to occur 15 minutes after sunset. Okay, so that's already now the third opinion when we should light candles. Sofar is the Mechaber with the Torah that says, Tsei Sakoi Chavim, when the Gemara says Mishech Hashecha, the translation of those words, of that word is Tsei Sakoi Chavim. In America, that would mean 50 minutes. We have the Gra, Mishech Hashecha means when the ball of the sun goes below the horizon, sunset. And then we have the Mishnah Brura that says Mishech Hashecha means the Shkia Shnia, the second setting of the sun, which occurs 15 minutes after sunset, and from there until Tzei Saka Chavim is exactly a half an hour. That's when you should light candles. Okay, now, next opinion. The next opinion is to light exactly...
So what are we doing?
You should know that most people, this question, like I told you, is not relevant. You know why it's not relevant? Because many people, they go to Mincha Ma'ariv. They go to, I don't know now with Corona, so everyone's going to Mincha Ma'ariv anymore. But if you go to Mincha Ma'ariv, so then, you're delayed. You delay. You don't have a choice. If you're going to go daven Mincha Ma'ariv with the Minyan, so you don't have a choice. When you come home, you come home. And then is your wife home? Many people, you know, if their wife is not ready, they're not going to fool around. they're not looking for trouble. They're going to wait until their wife is ready. Okay, they're not going to. So, you know, this is more theoretical. This is very not relevant for most people, especially for yeshiva bachim that are supposed to be in yeshiva. The people who this is the least relevant for, the people who supposedly know this the best, the people who spend the whole day learning the exact second of when they're supposed to light candles, for them it's supposed to be the least relevant. Halacha lemaisa, because they are supposed to be learning at the time of Halakas Neros, and they'll light when they come home from Second Seder at 8 o'clock at night. Isn't that funny? That's how it comes out. The people who know the most, the people who practice the Halakha the least. Okay, now, next opinion. The next opinion says, don't light 15 minutes after sunset. You wait 3 more minutes. Okay, you have a stopwatch, and you have an atomic clock. You're supposed to light exactly bidyuk on the clock 18 minutes after sunset. Why? Whose opinion is this? This is the opinion of the Eretz Tzvi, which is Tzvi Pesach Frank, if I'm not mistaken, the Rav of Eretz Yisrael of Yerushalayim. He was an incredible Pesach. And he says that the Zman to light, and he says, Kevan, because he, and he quotes many Gedolim, the Avnei Nezer, he quotes many Gedolim that held this, and that is, he held that the Iker Zman is Be'etzem, to light, this is really an Eretz Yisrael approach, is to light Tzei Sakoi Chavim. He held, like the opinion that we said before, and you spoke Mishachashecha, the translation of the word Shachashecha means when the stars come out. And he's working with the approach of the Gra. The Gra holds, when do the stars come out? They come out basically 18 minutes. 18 minutes after sunset. Why? Because the Gemara says a mil, well, let's explain. What is a mil? A meal is 24 minutes. Matzah, how many minutes do you have to bake matzah? You have to bake matzah within 18 minutes. What's the number 18 minutes? 18 minutes is 3/4 of the amount of time it takes to walk 1 mil. How long does it take to walk a mil? Halacha l'maisa, 24 minutes. That's how we paskin. Which is a bit surprising because it doesn't take only 24 minutes. It takes less. It really takes less. It takes really 18 minutes to walk a mile. I walk a mile every day from my house on Google Maps.
But a mil is not a mile.
A mil is 3/4 of a mile. A mil is 3/4 of a mile. I, on Google Maps, from my home to I walk to Chaim Berlin every day. I try most of the time. I go there every day. And on Google Maps, I mapped it. It's exactly 1 mile. Exactly. Bidiyuk. From doorstep, door to door, vador, exactly 1 mile. And it takes me, I time it all the time. It takes me about 18 minutes. takes me 18 minutes brisk, a little quick, 18, 19 minutes from door to door. So I consider myself to be an average person. So it takes an average person to walk 1 mile, 18 minutes. Chazal say that the shear of a mil is 24 minutes. 3/4 of a mil, 3/4 of 24 is 18. And let's explain. I will do mina kevan de l'shitas ha-go'inim, v'atanya, v'agro, v'ha-go'in bal avni nezer. Maschil ben ha-shmoshes mitchilas ha-shkia u'l'shitas ha-poiskin de-shir mil hu chof talit minut, v'imkein gimel rive mil hu 18 minute, imkein yesh lahalik oz, because that basically is tsei sakoy chavim. Tsei sakoy chavim, that's the difference. I'm making a mistake. There are different opinions of it's not relevant for now. The point is, according to the Gra, how does he transition from day to night? The Gra holds the moment the sun sets is the beginning of Bein Hashmashos. Bein Hashmashos goes on for 3/4 of a mil. This is a Gemara. If we accept that a mil is 24 minutes, 3/4 of a mil, 75% of 24 is 18. That means after 18 minutes in halacha, it is vaday laila. Now, in America and in Europe and in Bavel, this has not really been accepted because we see that it stays light, the part of this world, it stays light for much, much longer. But in Eretz Yisrael, where it gets dark very, very quickly, many Gedolim accept this lahalacha, that Laila in Eretz Yisrael is 18 minutes. There are many that are machmir, they wait more, they wait 20 minutes, 25 minutes, even 40 minutes some way, very, very machmir. But according to the Gra, who hold that Bein Hashmoshes begins with sunset, and the Gemara, and then the Gra holds, this will based on the Gemara, that after sunset, you have 3/4 of a mil of Bein Hashmashos until Vaday Laila. Well, we have to first define what is a mil. Some hold the mil is 18 minutes. Some hold it is 22 minutes. Some hold it is 24 minutes. We're going to accept now, the Tzvi Pesach Frank accepted, that let's assume a mil is 24 minutes, thus 3/4 of a mil is 18 minutes, and with the principles of the Vilna Gaon and the Baal HaTanya, the sun sets is the beginning of Bein Hashmashos, 3/4 of a mil later is Vaday Laila, 18 minutes after sunset, it's now Tzei Sakai Chavim, now is the time to light Chanukah candles. So this opinion really is part of opinion number one. We have really so far only three opinions. We have the first opinion that says Tzei Sakai Chavim. What is Tzei Sakai Chavim? In America, we follow Rabbeinu Tam's approach, which means that it's much, much later. We don't Bein Hashmashos, we hold is only a moment. It's not a long period of time, whatever it is. So we basically wait until 50 minutes until Tzei Sakai Chavim. Those who want to wait 70, 72. But if you're working with the principle that it's Tzei Sakai Chavim and you follow the Gra's approach to transitioning between day and night, then 18 minutes is the ideal time to light Chanukah candles. Now you'll ask me, why would an American, this is why we're learning this, to bring out some ideas. Why would an American want to light Chanukah candles 18 minutes after sunset to make a statement that is following Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, which is working with the Yesodos of the Gra and the Baal HaTanya, and when it says a Kochavim, when every single other halacha that you observe, you wait 72 minutes, 60 minutes, 50 minutes. And the answer is very simple. Because Chanukah is a miracle that is shaykh to Eretz Yisrael. You're giving kavod, honor to Eretz Yisrael. That's where you belong. You don't belong in America. In Eretz Yisrael, they follow the Gra, because there it gets dark right away. Most of the poskim have come to an understanding. This is very, very common. We have the Mahalich of the Gra and the Mahalich of Rabbeinu Tam. Every in Chutz La'aretz, we follow Rabbeinu Tam because that's the reality. The reality is it doesn't get dark until 72 minutes later or 50 minutes later. It doesn't get dark. So we just because the sun set, big deal, it's still day. Day ain't over yet just because the sun set. Bein HaShemashos kicks in much later. It kicks in 13 minutes before, 13 and a half minutes before 50 minutes. 50 minutes is Seisak Echavim. So go back 13 and a half minutes, those last 13 and a half minutes before the 50 minutes, that is called Seisak Echavim. Everything from sunset until then is Vada Yoim. That is Rabbeinu Tam, the Mahalach Rabbeinu Tam. And that is accepted Lahalacha Kimat by everyone in Chutz Liyaretz. You go to Eretz Yisrael, they look at you like you're from Mars. They don't do that over here in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, when the sun sets, that's the beginning of Bein HaShemashos. And 18 minutes later, it's Vaday Laila for all practical purposes. You want to be Machmir a little bit? Okay, so you be Machmir. You wait 20 minutes, 25 minutes, 30 minutes. You'll see different calendars in Eretz Yisrael. They wait a little bit longer. In Eretz Yisrael, they follow the Gra because the Metzius is like the Gra. In Chutz Liaretz, we follow Rabbeinu Tam because the Metzius is like Rabbeinu Tam. Chanukah, it doesn't really matter. Because Chanukah, you can really light the candles even from Plag Mincha. You can light your Chanukah candles with the Bracha, B'dievet, even 3 o'clock when the sun is shining. You can light your Chanukah candles. So why Chanukah are the B'nai Torah very makbid? Many of them, they take a light 18 minutes. Some of them do this 18 minutes. Seisak Echavim? No, it's not Seisak Echavim. You're in America. Excuse me. You're in dreamland. You're in America. It's not Seisak Echavim. You're in America. It's Seisak Echavim in Eretz Yisrael. Exactly. Because Chanukah is a miracle of Eretz Yisrael. Oz egmor b'shir mizmor Chanukas ha-mizbeach. There's no mizbeach in America. The whole miracle of Chanukah is a yearning, a teshukah. For the Beis HaMikdash, for the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, for Eretz Yisrael. So when you do the mitzvah, you live in fantasy world. That's right, I'm in Eretz Yisrael now. And if I was in Eretz Yisrael now, you know when Seisak Echavim is? 18 minutes after sunset. So right now, I'm an Israeli in America, in Brooklyn, in my home. That's the 18-minute approach. It's Seisak Echavim, Mishachasheich Seisak Echavim, in Eretz Yisrael, Dika Seisak Echavim. Not a 50-minute Chutz Liaretz or 72-minute Seisak Echavim. You make believe you're part of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, running out of time. Then there is the Shita. We have more we have to do. We're running out of time. I'll just tell you the numbers they will do tomorrow. To wait 25 minutes. Who's the one who waited this? Who's the one that waited 25 minutes? Who's the one that said to wait? I told you 15 minutes. Some told you 15 minutes. I'm getting mixed up with all these numbers. We have to go over some tomorrow. Okay, there's a sheet that says to wait 25 minutes. Yeah, I think I made a mistake. With 25 minutes, I made a mistake. That's the Mishnah Berurah. That's the one that's the second Shkia. That's, no. Oh, that's a Reva. I mix up the numbers. Let me just very briefly tell you, I made a big mistake. The Mishnah Berurah says there's a second Shkia. The second Shkia, I told you, is a half an hour before Seisak Echavim. That was an error. The second Shkia is 15 minutes before Seisak Echavim. When does a second Shkia occur? 25 minutes after sunset. So it's the same result. It's 45 minutes. It's 40. I mixed the two numbers. It's Seisak Echavim, according to the Mishnah Berurah, is really 45 minutes after sunset. The second setting of the sun is 15 minutes before it's Seisak Echavim. When does the second Shki occur? 25 minutes. That, how does he get the number? I don't know, but that's what he says. 25 minutes. So that would be the time. I told you before, it's like 15 minutes. Where did that come from? I don't remember. Where did the number have to do this tomorrow out of time? And then there is another opinion, Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein lit 10 minutes after Shkia. He has a whole calculation. Why? Because you get in many opinions. You combine many opinions. We'll leave that for tomorrow. And then we have to discuss when is the earliest time you can light. And that basically is Plaka Mincha, an hour and 15 minutes before sunset. When is the latest time you can light? So it depends. You can light with a bracha. And when is the latest you can light? If you can light with a bracha all alone, no one watches you, no one sees anything until midnight, until Chatzos. Now it's 1 o'clock. After daylight, it's 1 o'clock, until 1 o'clock. You do not need anyone to see the neros. You can light all alone in privacy with a bracha. But 1 o'clock and 1 second, once you pass 1 o'clock, you cannot make a bracha unless there is another person, another Jew, who can see the candles. You have to wake up someone. You have to wake them up out of their deep slumber and then deal with the collateral damage of waking them up. You wake them up, then you can make the bracha. But if you have no one to see the candles, you cannot make a bracha after chatzis. But you can. You can make a bracha all alone until 1 o'clock. That's the halacha. All right, so we'll do maybe more of this tomorrow. Shukayach. Have a wonderful day, everybody. All the best to all of you.
So, Rabbi, will you find out for me
the sefer? I'm going to ask for an organ man. Okay, okay.
Kuf Samech, I need.
Okay, Kuf Samech. Klonimus, okay.
Thank you.
Sure. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Sai. Enjoy.
There's a shiur tonight.
Yes, Rish Hashem. What's the shiur tonight?
No, our rabbi said to the...
Okay, everyone. Sei gesund.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.